This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
But let's go down this path, because it feels like some people want to, after every single Vegas Golden Knights playoff game in which Marc-Andre Fleury plays, especially the ones where he plays well. What, 28 saves last night,
yep,
I think it was.
28.
In a 4-1 victory over the Canadiens. Didn't stand on his head, I don't think, at any point in time, but just played a good, solid game.
He was good the series before.
Yes. And really, the only trip up, the only possible speed bump Vegas has hit in this postseason is when Fleury sat for the first game of that Colorado series,
yep,
and it kind of threw things off. It's very easy for us, and I would probably argue this as well, to just continue to say, well, I mean, they did what they had to. Jim Rutherford, when the expansion draft happened a few years ago, had a young Matt Murray coming off back-to-back Stanley Cup wins, and even at the time where he made the decision to contact Vegas about taking Fleury, you still knew Murray was the guy because he was younger and cheaper, and Fleury was getting older and more expensive.
Do we have to just vet it out and say, is the conversation that simple? Is that what we're doing here? Because that's what it feels like to me, that people say, okay, let's vet this out. Fleury had a good game. Fleury's the guy. Does the conversation ends with, that's what every general manager would have done, that's where it is, and so you just end it and have to live with it?
I think that's the surface-level conversation we've been having for the last 3 years.
Right.
And I think if we take a deeper dive into it, we can start to ask ourselves the question of why. Like, I understand Jim Rutherford wasn't ignorant to the salary cap, and he wasn't ignorant to the idea of draft picks holding value, for example. But he clearly was more interested in keeping as many championship-quality players around as possible. I'm not saying Matt Murray wasn't that at that point in time, because we all believed in Matt Murray at that point in time. But it's interesting to me that when you go back and look at Jim Rutherford's tenure in Pittsburgh, we would have probably been led to believe, when you look at it on the whole, that he was the kind of GM that would want to have the more veteran, more established star, even if it meant spending more money on it. Now, again, at that point in time, we thought Matt Murray was a star in the making. So I'm not going to pretend like my 2020 hindsight prevails here. But I think there's an interesting question as to, well, what would have happened if Jim Rutherford had decided to keep Fleury and trade Murray to Vegas instead?
Yeah, do we also need to look at it in terms of what would have happened if Marc-Andre Fleury at times in the playoffs would have played better as well? Mm-hmm. You know, there are some people who, you look at the situation, you look at the numbers, and there weren't people pining to keep him a lot of times, considering his play at times toward the end in the playoffs.
Well, because Murray became a guy who was all about the playoffs.
Correct.
He was the guy who would show up in the postseason. He quite literally did show up in the postseason, mm-hmm, and win you a Stanley Cup. And so at the point in time where Jim Rutherford made his decision to engage with Vegas on moving Fleury there and coming to that agreement, basically a handshake agreement before the playoffs even started that year, I'm not going to let my 2020 hindsight bury the lead here, that's still the way to go.
It'd be 2017 hindsight.
Exactly.
<mind you.
laughs> That's still the way to go. You could take me back to that moment right now, knowing everything I know, and sure, I'd make a different decision. But nobody knew that at that point in time. Matt Murray had given us no inclination to not believe that he was not going to be a big-time stand-up stud goaltender in the postseason going forward from that point. And Marc-Andre Fleury, more to the point you just brought up, hadn't shown us in a couple of years that he could be the guy that could be locked down, that could come in and save the other guy's bacon.
Right.
Because we'd seen 2012, because we'd seen the series against Columbus, because we'd seen moments where we're like, man, we love this guy, and he could be a part of things, but can he be the guy to throw the team on his back? He didn't prove that. He didn't prove that he really could be the guy to have a franchise thrown on his back until he went to Vegas.
Sometimes people go on to be nothing, and sometimes people go on to be Tyler Glasnow. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just this is why with me, when you make the trade, when you make trades, when you make player acquisitions, when you let people go, you need to do what's best for your organization, and then you need to just leave it. And wherever they go and whatever they do, that it's tough to sell to the fans, and fans don't act this way, but you need to just not look back. And whatever happens with it's kind of like this. Go buy an airplane ticket on Orbitz, okay, or one of those sites, yeah. Priceline, whatever.
I know where you're going, yeah.
Then don't ever look again, because the price will be lower in a month.
You'll just get
mad. You're going to get very upset. You need to resign yourself to the fact that in that time and in that space, what was best for you? And what was best for the Pittsburgh Penguins in that time and in that space, and what needed to be done was Matt Murray being the goaltender of the Pittsburgh Penguins. I honestly do think this, and if you draw the timeline in the way that it works, the untimely death of Matt Murray's father impacted him a great deal in a way in which I don't know if he's still ever recovered from.
It's a good question. I mean, he hasn't been the same goaltender since that happened.
No, he just hasn't. And it's very unfortunate. It's very awful what happened and the close nature with which he was with his father. And you wonder if that hadn't happened, if it seemingly something in his personal life affected him professionally.
And to flip it to the other side of the coin, back to Fleury for a second, you wonder if Marc-Andre Fleury hadn't been handed to Vegas and made the face of the franchise right away, would he have stepped up and become... Look, we all know Marc-Andre Fleury's a good guy. That's never been in question. He's always been a stand-up guy with the media after games, taking things to heart.
Well, yeah, he walked into Vegas and had his best save percentage first year of his career, I think. It was like .927 or
so. So does Marc-Andre Fleury step up in that way if he's the one back here in Pittsburgh and Matt Murray is the one who's foisted off on the Golden Knights? Or did he step up to that?
It was the
challenge.
Ultimate change of scenery, right time, right place on both ends.
Yes. Did he step up to that challenge because he was being asked to be the face of the franchise? And I think you could make a good argument for that. That Marc-Andre, the second part of Marc-Andre Fleury's career, the Vegas Golden Knights part of Marc-Andre Fleury's career, has been better because
he needed a rejuvenation.
And that rejuvenation
couldn't have happened here in Pittsburgh.
And he was finally ready for the challenge of being the face of the franchise. When he was a kid, when he first got here, before Crosby and Malkin showed up, he wasn't ready for that. He still had the weight of the World Cup coming down on him, all that.
Right.
And so, or the World Juniors, pardon me. But, you know, that I think is valuable to question too. I don't think if you go back and make a different decision with the benefit of your 2017 hindsight, if you go back and make a different decision, I don't think it plays out the same way that it has. I don't think Fleury becomes the franchise carrying goaltender. I don't think Murray. Furthermore, it melts down maybe in a way that he has when so much pressure was on him here.
Plus, in Vegas, he was coached by one of those six coaches or only allowed to coach in the NHL right when he walked into Vegas.
Who now has a new job?
Gerard Gallant.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, we do have an update to an earlier story.
Okay.
Rick Dayton has gotten back to me about his Facebook being hacked. Should you reach out to people if you see that their social media is hacked? I always work under the assumption someone else will tell them. So I texted Rick Dayton. I said, you got like all this Vietnamese writing and stuff on your Facebook. What's happening here? It's been hacked. And he just writes back, thanks for the heads up. So I guess he'll get it rectified.
Okay.
Rick Dayton. I don't want Rick Dayton to fall into some bad sort of way because his Facebook is hacked.
Who knows what's going to pop up when something like that happens.
Never know. Nudies. Send nudes.
Not Rick. So somebody had an interesting story last night in the midst of one of those NBA playoff games, and it got us to thinking about, well, similar situations for us. We'll explain. And do we believe one person in particular when they give this excuse for why they were maybe caught doing something or maybe just wrongly accused? That's all next on the Fan Morning Show, presented to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing. Here we go. Another athlete busted for performance-enhancing drugs, claiming, it's what I ate. Or does this one seem more legit than the others?
Oh, I got a theory.
Shelby Houlihan, reigning national champion and American record holder at both 1,500 and 5,000 meters, running that is, said that she was provisionally banned by the Athletics Integrity Unit after testing positive for nandrolone, which has been found in pork. She claims the only place it could have come from is a taco truck that she eats at where they use pork near Beaverton, Oregon. And so she got pork tacos,
That's
I guess, one day.
That's what Starling Marte had, dandrolone, by the way. And that is a,
That's strong stuff, right?
Yeah, that's the kiss of death drug. That's the bad one. That's the bad, that's the Balco drug.
Now, she says that the amount found should have been called an atypical finding. It would have been less serious then, would have triggered further investigation rather than what they call an adverse analytical finding and automatically triggers a suspension or a ban of some sort.
So she's saying a small amount is what she's saying?
Yes.
Pretty much? Yeah. All right, here's where it's weird with runners. If you know any runners, especially very highly competitive runners, they're much, swimmers are the same way, sometimes wrestlers as well, the individual sport people, not the team sport people, especially the individual sport people, like runners. They generally measure everything, like in terms of their miles that they put in, right, to a centimeter. They measure their everything to their, like, the macros of their diet. What food isn't necessarily a lot of times for them meant to eat and taste.
It's fuel. Yeah.
And they measure every single thing down, especially at that level, down to the very, 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 you know, most measurable quotient. And that's why I'm not believing her, so to speak, but it feels more believable with a runner like that as opposed to a baseball player for me. But then again, but how much money is this lady making? You know, that's different.
She's in line to make a whole lot more probably over the next year or so if she goes to the Olympics and performs well.
I don't know. I'm on the fence with this one. Like, I never believed Starling Marte for 1 second. Not 1 second. I believe that he took steroids.
See, I tend to lean towards not believing, and maybe that's not fair to some people, whether it's Starling Marte, whether it's this distance runner. But I tend to lean towards not believing, and again, that's probably not fair. It's not innocent until proven guilty, but this same excuse has been cooked up, no pun intended, by multiple people about the food that they ate.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's ever been proven true.
But
in
here,
any case.
Well, maybe it could work backwards then with me. If you're a runner like that, and you know that there could be traces of it found, then why would you ever eat something like that? You know, my theory could work backwards and kind of slap myself in the face with it. Why would you ever then eat a pork, any sort of pork, if you know that perhaps you could get pinched for that?
To then take the devil's advocate argument here, because again, I don't know if I believe what she's claiming here. She did say she had to look up how this could have possibly gotten into her system after the fact. And she said, well, you know, I found out it could have come from pork. So then I went back and looked at all the things I'd eaten and found, oh, yeah, there's this taco truck that I go to where
I had pork carnitas or whatever. One person's lying and one person's telling the truth. The guy who says he got swallowed by the whale, or the distance runner who says she ate burritos and that's how she felt. And one is definitively, and only God knows this, but it's true that one is a liar and one is telling the truth. Who is the liar?
If you had
to put it down.
I would believe Shelby Houlihan before the whale guy.
Same. Whale guy
because
is
whale guy
full
is
of garbage.
So wildly unbelievable.
I agree. It's the worst fishtail ever. It is.
It's been said by scientists Even a whale's throat, like you think of a whale as a massive being.
Yes.
You just fall into their mouth and it's like Pinocchio or whatever. You fall down into their belly and you're there swimming around. No, it's been said that their throats aren't even big enough to swallow a human.
Also, if he was 45 feet down like he claims that he was, wouldn't it be dark?
Pitch black, yes.
So what is he saying? That guy is...
All kinds of shrooms in his system. Test him for something.
Something. He was a lobster man?
He was a lobster fisherman. Yeah.
And he says he got swallowed by this whale.
Swallowed whole by a whale.
Okay. No, they could both be lying. They could both be telling the truth. But I'm just throwing the proposition in front.
Yeah, if I got to choose one, like I got to choose between Koepka and DeChambeau, I'll grudgingly choose I'll choose Shelby Houlihan's story.
I don't know. I'm on the fence. Her, 50-50.
Right.
Lobster guy, 1%, 99%.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.